Shalom to all! Today we're going to learn Mishnayos Peah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav, and Mishnah Zayin. And today's Mishnayos are being learned Lili Nishmas, Maris Miriam, Sarah, Basav, Yaakov, Maisha, Her, Nisham, Shadav, and Aliyah, and Bischos, Rachel, Basav, Gittel, and Daniel, Eliezer, Brent, Peah, Rachel. They should be gemesh with Zeresh, Al-Kayama, Bekar of Mamish. Now Mishnah Vav is going to tell us, what's the minimum size of a field that would be chayev to have Peah left during the harvest? So Rabbi Lezer says, Karka base roiva chayevis bepeah. If this karka, this land, this field is able to have a roiva, which means a quarter of a kav of seeds planted in it, so then it's chayev in peah. How big is that, you would ask? So a quarter of a kav of grain can be planted in a field that's a little bit bigger than 10 by 10 amas. More specifically, that's 106th square amas, and if you don't know how much that is, it's 35 square meters. Now Rabbi Shua argues with Rabbi Eliezer, and he says, ha'oises asayim, that's if this field can actually grow 2 saw of grain, then you'd be chayev in peah in this field. So Rabbi Shua is telling us that we don't measure it based off of how much grain can be planted there, it's how much the land can actually produce. And that's 2 saw of grain, which is 12 kav. So what's the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua? So Rabbi Elazar bases his shita off of a comparison between peah and kelayim. So kelayim is forbidden mixtures. You're not allowed to grow certain things together in a field. So the isser of growing kelayim is with a field that one can plant a minimum of a quarter of a kav in. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua bases his shita off of a comparison between peah and shikcha. There's no chiv of a shikcha on 2 saw of grain because that's considered a field. So too, the chiv of peah is on a field of 2 saw. Now, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, he says, shisha al shisha tfachim, a patch of land which is 6 by 6 tfachim, that would be chayev in peah. Why is that? Because one can plant 5 different species in this small patch of ground and not have an issue of kelayim. So we see that even this size land, 6 by 6 tfachim, that's very small, is considered chashuv, and therefore you would have to leave peah from such a field. Now, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, he says, kidei lichtzer v'lishnais, if your land is big enough to harvest and then harvest again, you would be chayev in peah. What does that mean, to cut and then to cut again? So the way that they would cut their grain is they would grab a fistful of grain and then cut it down. So if you have 2 fistfuls of grain in your field, you can be kitzer that, you can cut that, and then be shine, you can do that again. Even such a field, even a field so small, that would be chayev in peah. And the Mishnah says, v'alacha kedvarav, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Now Rabbi Kiba Omer, he says, karka kol shehu chayevis bepeah. Even the tiniest bit of land is chayev in peah. If you have a tiny piece of land that has 1 stalk of grain growing on it, you would still be chayev in peah, according to Rabbi Kiva. Now, how in the world are you going to leave peah off of 1 stalk of grain? Remember, peah is that you're harvesting your field and then you're leaving over some of the harvest. But if you have only 1 stalk of grain, how can you harvest it and leave some over? So the Mefarshim explained that actually, you don't cut the grain from the bottom. You start harvesting this piece of grain from the top, and then you leave some of that stalk of grain, and you actually never cut that stalk out of the ground. That's according to Rabbi Kiva. And as we said, we don't paskin like Rabbi Kiva. But now that Rabbi Kiva told us of this concept of karka kol shehu, a little bit of karka, a little bit of land, we're going to learn some more halachas that are relevant to that. So the Mishnah continues, uvebikurim. If a person has a tiny bit of land and he has some fruit growing there, and that fruit is of the Shivas Haminim, so that's Chayv and Bikurim, he has to bring those first fruits up to the Beis HaMikdash. V'lechta b'le ha-prozbol. If a person has the tiniest bit of land, he can write a prozbol on that piece of land. Now, what exactly is a prozbol, and what does that have to do with a piece of land? So, when Shemitah comes along, we know Shemitah is the 7th year, not only is there Shemitah's karkais, that all land gets left alone, there's something called Shemitah's ksafim. All loans, all money, that's kesef, ksafim, all loans get left alone, and one that borrowed money doesn't actually need to pay it back. So here's the thing. Hill HaZaken discovered that people weren't lending money anymore because they didn't want to lose it. They realized that it was going to be Shemitah, and then they would never get their money back, so they stopped lending money. And that's a problem. So he was metaken prozbol, which is a shtar, it's a document that's written by the malve, the lender, the one that gave the money, and it transfers the right to collect the loan to Bezdin, meaning Bezdin is allowed to collect a loan on behalf of this person, and then the loan isn't dropped when Shemitah comes. So a prozbol only works if the borrower has land, because then it's considered as if Bezdin actually already collected a loan from his land. So what we just said in the Mishnah is, if the borrower, the loiva, has even the smallest bit of land, we can write a prozbol on that. Another halach of karka kol shehu, v'liknos ima nechasim she'en hamachrayas, we can buy nechasim that do not have achrayas with this tiniest little bit of land, v'kesef u'bishtar v'chazaka, with Kesef Shtarn Chazaka. So here we're going to have quite a lengthy explanation, so put on your focusing caps. So we just use this terminology in our Mishnah, Nechasim She'en Lahem Achrayus. So actually in modern Hebrew, Achrayut means a warranty. Nechasim She'yesh Lahem Achrayus refers to something that can be used as a guarantee or a security for a loan. Land is something that has Achrayus. If someone borrows money, then his land can be used as a guarantee for the loan. If the loan isn't paid, so then the lender can just take that land instead. Now, this is not the case with nechasim she'ein lahem achrayus, such as metaltalin, movable objects, which is what we would call stuff, a car, bike, book, umbrella, fridge, you get the point. There's no achrayus on such things. So if Reuven lent Shimon money and Shimon didn't pay him and all he has is a fridge and a bicycle, he's not allowed to collect that fridge and bike for his loan payment. Now these two different categories, nechasim she'yesh lahem achrayus and nechasim she'ein lahem achrayus, are actually halachically acquired in completely different ways. One can be kind of nechasim she'yesh lahem achrayus, like a piece of land, with kesef, money, shtar, which is a document stating that he owns it, or chazaka, doing an action of sorts to show that he owns this field, such as digging in it. If it's not your field, you wouldn't dig in it. From the fact that he's digging in it, that shows that it's his field. However, one can only be kind of nechasim she'ein lahem achrayus, as we said, metaltal and movable objects, by way of meshicha, physically lifting, pulling, or moving the item, not with money or any other way. Now here we finally got to the point of all this. Nechasim she'ein lahem achrayus, metaltalin, movable objects, could be acquired along with nechasim she'yesh lahem achrayus. So for example, if Reuven sells Shimon his field, again which is nechasim she'yesh lahem achrayus, and he also sells him his car, which is nechasim she'ein lahem achrayus, all Shimon needs to do is to be kind of the field in one of the above mentioned ways, which is with kesef shtar chazaka, and then the car is automatically his, even though he didn't do mashiach on it. So what the Mishnah just taught us is that even the smallest amount of land can affect this sort of kinyan. So let's say Reuven wants to sell Shimon his car, but Shimon doesn't want to have to be bothered to go to the car and turn it on and to start driving it all around the place, or if the car's not even here. So what Reuven can do is also sell him a tiny piece of land. All Shimon would have to do is do some sort of kinyan on that tiniest little piece of land, and that would prevent him from having to go and do mashiach on the car to be kind. And now moving on to Mishnah Zion with yet another halacha about a tiny piece of land. So HaKaisev Nechasev Shchiv Meira, let's say a person writes over his possessions and he's a Shchiv Meira. That means he's on his deathbed. Imagine Reuven's on his deathbed and he thinks he's about to die and he writes in a document, I, Reuven, give all of my possessions to my friend Shimon. So Shir Karka Kolshehu, if he left over a little bit of land, it doesn't have to be that he left over land, it could be that he left over something else, then Matnase Matana, his gift is a good gift. And we're going to explain this in a minute. But if he didn't leave over a little bit of land, or if he didn't leave over some sort of metaltalin for himself, then his gift is not a good gift. So let's understand this. Reuven was on his deathbed, and Reuven thought that he was about to die. So he said, I want to give all of my possessions to my best friend Shimon. Now let's say a nes happens, and miraculously Reuven recovers, and he actually doesn't die. So that's a great simcha, that's really nice. But now Reuven wants all of his stuff back. He doesn't want Shimon to keep all of his stuff, he wants to take back his gift. Now usually when a person takes back a gift, we call that an Indian giver. You gave a gift, you can't take it back. But this case is obviously different because he was a Shchiv Meira. He thought he was going to die, and the only reason he wrote over all of his nechasim to his friend is because he thought he was going to die. Now, how do we know whether or not he really thought he was going to die? So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. If he left over even a little bit for himself, so then we know that he wasn't 100% convinced that he was going to die. He left over his pen for himself, so that means he was only 99.9% sure he was going to die, but not 100%, because if he was 100% sure, why did he leave his pen for himself? In that case, even though Reuven recovered, and we're all very happy that he recovered, it's still a valid gift, and actually Shimon gets to keep all of his stuff. However, if he didn't leave anything over for himself, not even the tiniest bit of land, not even a pen, not even a tissue, so then it's very clear to us that the only reason why Reuven gave everything to Shimon is because he thought he wasn't going to live. But now that he recovered, we say that he never intended to give everything to Shimon, and he gets to get all of his stuff back. And another case, HaKaisev Nechas Lubanov, let's say someone's on his deathbed and he writes over all of his possessions to his children, he apportions everything that he owns amongst his children. And also, V'kasev Le'ishtai Karka Kolshehu, he wrote in this document that he's giving a tiny little bit of land to his wife. Ibda Ksubasa, she actually loses her ksuba. So we know that when a man gets married, he has to write a document for his wife called a ksuba, in which he says that he's going to take care of her and he's going to support her. And also, if Hilo Aleinu dies or divorces her, he has to give her a certain amount of money that would support her for an entire year. But in this case, his wife actually loses her ksuba, and all she gets is that tiny piece of land. That's because since she didn't protest when he wrote in this document that she gets a piece of land, she openly forfeits her rights to her ksuba, and she does not get anything of his possession. Now, Rabbi Yossi takes this a step further, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi says, Im kibla aleha, if she accepted upon herself to take that little piece of land, aval pisha loikas avla, even though he never actually wrote it for her in a document, but she just agreed, sure, not a problem, I'll take that tiny piece of land, ibda ksubasa, she also loses her ksuba in that case. But as we said, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. We're going to stop here for the day. Pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Ches and with Perek Daled, Mishnah Aleph. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.